I don't know, as the readings were read, whether you felt like we had retreated back into the Christmas season. You just heard about Jesus last week, choosing disciples. He's in the midst of his fabulous ministry, and today we go back to the childhood of Jesus, right? It's the Feast of the Presentation of the Lord. Every second February is the Feast of the Presentation of Jesus, and today, this year it happens to fall on a Sunday. So we're celebrating the Feast of the Presentation of Jesus. This feast, in one sense, is an extension of the Feast of the Epiphany. Remember, the Epiphany also, Jesus was manifested. But the difference between Epiphany and the Presentation is that whereas the Feast of the Epiphany was, as it were, the global manifestation of Jesus, Jesus was made known to the whole world. The Magi came from outside Israel. The Feast of the Presentation of Jesus is more an internal manifestation. It is more for Israel as a nation. So all the prophecies that you have today speak about Jesus being revealed to the nation of Israel. So for example, you have Simeon who says that what Christ will accomplish will bring glory to Israel. It's nothing about the world. Glory to Israel. And then Anna the prophetess, towards the latter part of the reading, also focuses on the internal ministry of Jesus. She spoke about the child to all who were awaiting the redemption of Israel. Right? So it's more internal. So I'm staying with the theme of staying local. In other words, I'm not talking today about what faith means for the rest of the world. I want to focus on what faith means for us, particularly our families. Because you have Jesus and Joseph and Mary coming as a family before the Lord in Jerusalem. Now, last evening when I preached this homily, I gave the people an option. I said, do you want my typical three practical implications? Or would you like me to focus on one practical implication, but there is a consequence to choosing one instead of three, okay? I would have given you the choice, but I think today you find yourself in the same situation as the rest of humanity after Adam and Eve made their choice. Right? They made a choice and the rest of humanity was affected by it. So I want to say, last evening, they made the choice of going for the one practical implication rather than the three. So unfortunately, in some way, you are victims of the 5 o'clock mass. Okay? Because once I did what I did, I think a lot of people came and said, this was fabulous, this was very good, this is going to be helpful for us. And they said, are you doing it at the other two masses? I said, I was going to offer them a choice. They said, no, do it. So here I am, I'm a very obedient priest, okay. So here's what I'm hoping to do with us today. I want to talk about faith in our families. Now I understand that many of you have come this morning alone. Your spouse or the rest of your family may be at home, or they come for another mass for whatever reason. So the challenge will be to find somebody who you can talk with. And that's the consequence of choosing one practical implication instead of three. Is that okay? Those of you who are couples, this is going to be fine. You might be friends or you might be siblings. So we're going to use a certain way to approach spirituality at home that is very practical and that might help in our faith at home. Why am I doing this? In recent times, I have been very closely involved with First Holy Communion and confirmation preparation. And I'm approaching the preparation for these two sacraments not as if my child is going to receive confirmation. My child is preparing for First Holy Communion. In other words, families come, they drop their kids off, and they go back. Something is happening to my child. Where is my child? Well, she is at confirmation preparation. And what are we doing? Well, we're watching Super Bowl, right? No, we are approaching First Holy Communion and confirmation as a family formation time. In other words, it's not that something is happening to my child, but something is happening to our whole family. We are preparing for confirmation. We are preparing for First Holy Communion. So we got parents together. When we got parents together, I asked them a question, how many of you pray at home, either as a family or as couples? How many of you have pray with your spouse? So this is to those who are married here and those. How many of you pray with your spouse on a regular basis? Okay, there are a few. Many of us don't. And I also realize the reason why people do not pray as a couple together often is not because they're very busy. It's not because the schedules are pretty messed up, or because, you know, you're... The biggest reason for couples not praying together is simply awkwardness. What do I do when I sit with her or with him? Especially on the days we've had a screaming match, or he drives me nuts, or gosh, I wish she would just stop. What do you do when you sit down to pray? So the awkwardness of prayer between parents and children and couples in general is one of the main reasons why couples don't pray together. So one of the things that I'm hoping to do is to provide an approach that might help at home for couples to break the awkwardness of praying together. And I'm going to use what I call a biblical approach. So here's the deal. If you are not sitting as a couple, please try and do. If you want to be, or if you're alone, look around. There might be someone else who you might want to share some thoughts with. Or if you're alone, you can take this thought, this method home and try to practice this with your near and dear ones at home. So this is called the biblical approach, right? When you gathered for prayer at home, if you sit just facing each other, perhaps in bed or maybe in your living room around the table, take the scripture for the day. That's very easy to find. So this is the biblical approach, right? There are many ways to pray, but I'm proposing the biblical approach because it's easier to break the awkwardness of prayer. Take the scripture for the day, and you can find that on the internet, you can find that on your smartphones, or you can just print it off. The church provides scripture for us every day and every week. So whatever day you decide to pray, I'm proposing once a month would be fabulous, once a week would be great, it'll be transformative of your life and of your family. But even if it's once a month, right? Take the scripture for the day. Somebody reads the scripture for the first time. One of you. So today, we're going to practice this. I'm going to read the scripture. Let me tell you, the scripture is not the easiest one to pray with. You'll find other easier scriptures that'll come by. As I read, which is somebody at home is reading, I'm going to ask you to look for phrases, words, thoughts that grab your attention. Okay? So good. Everybody, listen to part of today's scripture one more time and see something hits you. When the days were completed for their purification, according to the law of Moses, Mary and Joseph took Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Just as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that opens the womb shall be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer the sacrifice of a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons in accordance with the dictate of the law of the Lord. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, awaiting the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Christ of the Lord. He came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to perform the custom of the law in regard to him, he took Jesus into his arms and blessed God, saying, "Now, Master, you may let your servant go in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you prepared in sight of all the peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and glory for your people Israel." The child's father and mother were amazed at what was said about him, and Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be contradicted. And you yourself, a sword will pierce, so that the thoughts of many in Israel might be revealed." So after this passage is read once, either as a couple or as a family, spend a moment in silence and think about what word, what phrase, what thought might have grabbed your attention. So just a minute. Okay, and then the person who is reading, or another person, reads the scripture one more time, loudly. And this time, see if you stay with the same thought or word or phrase that touched you, or something else touched you, or maybe the same thought touches you a little deeper. Okay, I'm gonna read this one more time. Here it is. "When the days were completed for their purification according to the law of Moses, Mary and Joseph took Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Just as it is written in the law of the Lord, 'Every male that opens the womb shall be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer the sacrifice of a pair of turtle doves and two young pigeons, in accordance with the dictate of the law of the Lord.' Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, awaiting the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Christ of the Lord. He came in spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to perform the custom of the law in regard to him, he took him into his arms and blessed God, saying, 'Now, Master, you may let your servant go in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you prepared in sight of all the peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and glory for your people Israel.' The child's father and mother were amazed at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be contradicted. And you yourself a sword will pierce, so that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." So now, turn around to your spouse or whoever you're planning to share your thoughts with, and share those phrases, the word, or the thought that grabbed your attention. Let's take about 30 seconds. Go. Break the awkwardness, have a conversation, no talking about who's going to win Super Bowl. Talk about that phrase, that thought. Do you want to join somebody? Are you okay? You're not talking today? I'm kidding.
We just had a couple of
words. Okay. If you've shared with each other what thought or phrase or word that touched you, here's the next question that you ask yourself. What does that mean for me? In other words, what do you think God is saying to you personally? In this passage, what is God saying to you personally? Share. Okay, some good conversation still going on, but I'm just merely teaching a method. We don't have time to go through the whole thing, right? Now, the next question, especially for you as couples or as families, or if you've come individually, talk to somebody what this might mean for you at home. Here's the question. What does this mean for us? So the first step was important thoughts, phrases, words. Second, you shared that and what it means for you. Now, share with one another what this passage or what God is saying to you as a family. What does this mean for us? Go. So may I suggest that you continue this back home. Now, this third step is where you get the practical implications. This is what I do in my homily writing. Here's what God is saying to me, I think. What's the practical implication? That's how I draw my three practical implications. You as a family can say to, God is saying this to us now. What does that mean we do? And you know what, from today's gospel, you might say something like, we should be more open to the Holy Spirit, because see how the Holy Spirit helped Simeon to recognize Christ. Or you might say, younger families, I think we should bring our children to the Lord and offer them often to the Lord. Or you might come across the statement where Simeon says to Mary, a sword will pierce. What does that mean for our family? What difficulties are we going through? How can we face it? So, if you can do this, listen, couples, if you can do 12 times a year, once a month, I'm telling you, your marriage will get onto the next plane. If you do it together as a family, your family will continue to live in the presence of God. So I'm suggesting that, you know, pray together as a couple and as a family, and maybe that's the best way for us to think about and celebrate the feast of the presentation of the Lord. Secondly, it breaks the awkwardness. It's not praying together, but it's reflecting together and then coming to prayer. So the last step in this prayer method is that whatever it is, the practical implication, ask God to help you to live it in your family. Or just end with a Hail Mary and you would be fine. So I pray that we can become families that form the entire family together on a regular basis. I think that'll help our faith grow quite a bit. Okay? So if you hate me for this, forgive me. Right? I hope it'll be helpful for your families at home. People of God said, Amen.